The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's Wednesday, March the 25th. It is 7:06 in the morning, and our phone lines here are 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, everybody. Carl and Linda Bob. Of course, Bad
good
Bob's
morning.
Here. Good morning, honey. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning to you.
Okay, I didn't mix it up this time, did I? I didn't call him honey. You know, if you notice Bad Bob's beard now is kind of like what was the guy's name? Captain Ahab of Moby Dick.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's exactly the same beard that Gregory Peck had in the movie. And okay, you know, if I was just Bob, I'd start worrying.
Army mateys.
Arg, Archie Blow.
Army mateys.
Maybe we'll have Pirate Day. Everybody has to talk like a pirate.
Anything
Arr,
to dress
media
up.
That is September 21st, I think.
Oh, it is Pirate Day.
International
Talk
Like a Pirate Day.
If anybody would know that, Bob would know that. Yes. Hey, you know what? It looks like it's going to be a great day today.
Absolutely. Well, okay, you guys. You know, we've been in the 40s. 46. Well, today our temperature looks like the forecast is high of 80. Oh, my goodness. Posted clear tonight with 57. Thursday, 83. Thursday night is 56, and Friday is 80. So it just looks like now Saturday it looks like we've got a percentage of showers, and mostly sunny with 80. But, boy, wouldn't that be great. Now Saturday night cools down a little bit with temperatures around 54. But the forecast and the weather for today is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's great to be a Shasta Gas propane customer, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. Always, they give us, they sponsor our weather, and we love these guys.
Yeah.
You know, we have the greatest.
Sniffing here. I'm just, whatever's blooming is just rolling.
I know. I know. There's little white buds all over the ground. But we, you know, just more and more, Carl and I feel blessed. I went to a One Safe Place gathering last night where we, talked about the Capitol campaign and what they're doing. And we sat with Gene King and we listened for hours upon, statistics. Go ahead, Bob.
Have you seen the new building that's being renovated right next, down on Benton?
Going to be doing a tour. This was, a rendering, an artist rendering of what's going to be happening, but it's just staggering. And they last year, you know, don't quote me on the figures, but they saw 2,500 you know, people in need come through domestic violence, and in the next year, and then last year was up to 7,000. So that is
I think those
a staggering
are the
number.
Statistics they were giving us, yeah, it is huge.
But anyway, so just when you look at the people who come together in this community and you know, they work really hard at doing things to help Reading become a better, safer environment. We just, you know, people like Maui Bob.
Bob Mahalan. Yeah. And Maui Bob, who is, you know, you hear his ads on our station all the time, and passed away this past weekend on Sunday. And it was just like, I mean, And he was such a fine individual, just a nice guy and a great community. He loved this community and he supported this community in like 1,000 different ways. I mean, just so many different ways. Maui Bob Cleaning Service. Of course, you know, it's his son was running it now, but it's a family business. And I know we were just, you know, proud to say that we were part, that we knew Maui Bob and his family. So
he was one of those guys that when you talked to him, no matter how you were feeling, you came away from the conversation with a smile.
Yeah, and he would take the advertising that he did, and of course, his office cleans the KCNR studios. They're very reliable. And reliable, absolutely. And also trustworthy, and that's what you think of when you thought of, when you think of Bob. You see Bob's the visual Bob in your head. You know, it brings good feelings. I think it was a purpose in his life that he and his wife loved Hawaii, and so he came to, you know, the Maui Bob thing just became the, you know, synonymous with him. He always had a Hawaiian shirt on. But he was just a really peaceful guy. And so it was, of course, very shocking to us. And so this morning, that's why, you know, we wanted to just, you know, love his memory of what a wonderful human being he was. Right. And he was so kind to us.
And, you know, they're having a remembrance for him this weekend. And the only requirement is that, you know, when you come, is that you have a Hawaiian shirt. You wear a Hawaiian shirt. Is that cool?
Yeah. Aloha.
Cool. Aloha. Yeah. Yeah, super. Well, anyway, we Aloha, the, Maui Bob.
Yeah, I'll be sending a song out to Maui Bob when we hit the break. But I was, you could have hit me in the head with a hammer and had less effect than just
when
before
just
the show
you,
started.
Yeah. Told you, yeah. Well, you know what? I saw it. I saw it. You know, so it came out from on an email, and it was just, it was kind of like, wow. So anyway, other things have happened around here. The yesterday, I don't even know if I even want to get into this one. No, I'm going to get into the second one first. Hamilton Beach attorney Matt McLaughlin. Why is this guy famous all of a sudden? Besides being on the front page of the Record Searchlight, I've been following this story for like 3 days. It broke like 3 days ago. It appears that Mr. McLaughlin paid his $200 to get a ballot initiative going, Bob and Linda. And the ballot initiative says if you're a lesbian or gay, it's okay to kill you. Ooh. Oh, yes, it's okay to kill gays and lesbians. It says it would okay.
Not
the, yeah.
Helping.
Oh, no. Now, do you think people are upset?
I'm appalled.
If you think you think some people are upset? For a fee of $200, Matthew McLaughlin submitted what he called the Sodomite Suppression Act to the state attorney general's office, which has little choice but to give it a ballot-worthy name, summarize its effects, and set the clock running for gathering signatures. Mr. McLaughlin's immoral proposal is just the latest and most egregious example of the need to further reform the initiative process, Assemblyman Evan Lowe, Democrat from Campbell, said. Now, okay, here's the bad. Okay, besides this guy obviously being a jerk and crazy.
Idiot.
Okay, this is like, okay, this is where we get into the, if you carry a gun openly into a Starbucks, the Democratic legislature of California will outlaw the carrying of guns, right? So what this guy has done is he's made something that's incredibly stupid. Now, whether he believes it or if he's just trying to make a point that the process is flawed, which I think, you know, frankly, I think that's what it is. He wants to change the initiative process. So he's done this. And so now the Democrats are going to change the initiative process. And one of the ways they're going to do it is, oh, we'll just raise the cost of putting it instead of $200 to $8,000. Okay. The other part is that now they can change it. So it says, well, we can't have egregious things in there in the initiative process. So we have to make rules and restrictions.
Well,
so
man,
here
yeah.
you go.
Who judges?
Yeah, here you go. And, you know, they're using an act that is so sophoric, that is so out there. And then they're going to turn around and say, well, look, as long as we're changing it, why don't we make it so, you know, and then who, God knows what they're going to come up with when they start making changes on the initiative process. The initiative process is the only way, the ballot process is to put some of these idiots in check. I mean, come on, you know, I mean, and now they're even trying to change them, you know, like the Jarvis Act, you know, all those things, you know, for, and so now it's, oh, we can't get enough money. Now, the initiative. Wonder how, what they're going to do when they start touching that.
Whew.
Yeah.
I mean,
all based on some, you know, and frankly, I'm thinking, is it? Was the guy serious? Or was this guy just doing this to push, you know, to push the envelope out there? On the other hand, it might be interesting to see if he gets on the ballot initiative, how many people vote for it. Can you imagine that? What if you get on this ballot initiative? What if a million people vote for that? that it's okay to kill gay people. I mean, does what in the hell does that tell you? Bob, that's even worse.
Now, where did you find this information?
Isn't it amazing that free speech gives you the right to be that stupid?
But that's what free speech is about.
Yeah.
You can be that stupid. Somebody on the line? I know sure.
Ken Hill about Cuckoo's Nest. I told him we'd probably take him after the...
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, but also, Carl, you know, when we come back, let's. I know you've got a lot of things written out, but let's talk about what's some really big headline news.
What you've got there is huge right now.
This
huge.
Is something that affects really affects our country and our world, and we're going to go down some of the top of the headlines. We got to take a break. But before we do, you know what? Again, this week is going to be loaded. Tonight's Sister Act. Tomorrow night's my show. Saturday night is the Turtle Bay Auction. Busy, busy, busy with a lot of things going on. I'll tell you what, it was really wonderful. Came home last night at 9:30 after like an intense meeting again with One Safe Place and Gene King, and it was just a lot of staggering statistics and very informative. But anyway, came to bed in my sleep number bed, which I'm so happy that we have, and have my sleep number setting at 40. And it's so nice to wake up. I woke up at 5 without an alarm, and yesterday I had a really bad
migraine.
Well, I think it was the low barometric pressure that just really super affects me behind my eyes. So I was dealing with that all day yesterday. But today I woke up refreshed. I felt I don't have a headache. I'm rested. 5 o'clock in the morning. Sleep number. I just slept like a baby all night.
American Made, rated number one in America by Consumer Reports. And right now, if you go down to the Target Shopping Center, to the Sleep Number store, they've got the Sleep Number IA bed. That was one rated number one with savings of $600. So you can find out what your Sleep Number setting is, and plus all the other things that go along with Sleep Number, all down at the Sleep Number store. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. The time is 7:17 in the morning, 51 degrees out there today on Wednesday, March the 25th.
Maori Bob, my friend, I see you in my mind's eye there on the beach, sipping a drink with an umbrella and enjoying the moonlit ocean. This one's for you, sir.
The last weekend in March, you'll find answers for all your spring home improvement projects at the original Home and Garden Expo at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Need to speak to a home mortgage expert creating a new landscape? Need household improvements? A new roof, gutters, lighting, doors, windows, flooring, appliances, pool, spa, barbecue, or planning a garden? Speak to all the experts on hand to answer all your questions March 27th through the 29th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. Find more information online at readinghomeexpo.com. At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. With your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100 plus. We'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. And now through March 31st, save 50% on all sunglass frames. See our store for complete details. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today.
4.5 million Americans would die each year without life-saving blood transfusions. You can help us save lives while being a winner, too.
The Diamond Drop is happening live at Reading Shasta Blood Center. Desi and I will be there from 10 to 5 showcasing a gorgeous diamond necklace, sponsored by Four Winds Jewelry. Challenge yourself and others in our Operation Save a Life campaign.
It's the Diamond Drop, April 17th at Shasta Blood Center. Call 221-0600 and sign up today.
Nate Abarea here for my friends at Palomar Builders. Palomar respects this community and is committed to building the best and highest valued homes in Reading. It's all about improving and supporting the area we call home, the North State. That's why local subcontractors are such a huge part of the process and have helped make Palomar Builders' reputation what it is today. On the radio, Palomar Builders helps to make programs like Destination North State and Reading Colt 45's baseball possible here on KCNR. A trusted local builder for nearly 25 years, Palomar Builders.
Turtle Bay's third West Coast Biennial Juried Art Exhibition is now open at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. This year's juror, Bonnie Lang Malcolmson from the Portland Art Museum, has selected the pieces for the exhibition. With works in many media, competing artists from California, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska, the West Coast Biennial Juried Art Exhibition is a show you won't want to miss. The exhibition features works from some of the North State and Reading local artists, as well as many other great artists. For the park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Adamson's Peak Performance is our gym of choice. There is nothing better than to feel in shape, and that can make you feel on top of the world. Adamson's Peak Performance. No gimmicks, no games, no hypes. Make workouts fun at Adamson's Peak Performance, located at 3050 C Street. Give them a call at 221-8006 for their March special. That's Adamson's Peak Performance.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:21 in the morning here on Wednesday, the 25th of March. 51 degrees out there. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Let's go to the phones. Ken Hill, good morning, Ken.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're peachy
we're
here.
Great. Now, Ken Hill is the director of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is happening out at Shasta College. Ken, we just love that you called in this morning because we need to refresh everybody's memory on what's happening with this production.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a wonderful, wonderful show. I couldn't be more happy for it.
Okay. Well, give us the dates and tell us what, you know, tell, just give us the, for people who maybe don't know about what's happening.
Well, sure. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, 7:30 at the Shasta College Theater. Tickets are available at the door on the Shasta College main campus. And, it's a dramatization by the award-winning playwright Dale Wasserman, adapted it from Ken Kesey's novel, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And it's just a brilliant realization of Ken's vision.
Well, I met some of your actors in it, and they're just really spectacular. I think it's going to be a great, great, great effort. So how can people get there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that again.
I just said I have met them and some of the actors. And I believe it's really going to be a super, super effort. So,
well, we've had incredible responses so far. My daughter says, Dad, you always, you know, overtalk your shows, so I don't want to do that. This one's just great to let it stand on its own. The whole goal is to create kind of a mass emotional response in your audience when you do live theater or live performances, you well know. And so I think we've achieved that. The actors are just doing a brilliant, brilliant job.
And do you have how many more performances, and how do we let our listening audience know how to get tickets?
Well, they can call the college theater arts department. Three final performances, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 at the college. And tickets will be available at the door, 11555 Old Oregon Trail, the Shasta College main campus.
Well, it's a great little theater. And, Ken, you do spectacular work as a director. And thank you for bringing an ambitious play to, again, Shasta College. You always do outstanding work. And again, it's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Thank you for calling us this morning. It's just a reminder, folks, that, you know, we do have some spectacular art in Northern California, and Shasta College is always producing wonderful, wonderful plays and musicals. So head on out there this weekend and see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, Ken. All right. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. You know, we have a huge number of headlines and things that are going on, but you know, Yemen, which was the bright spot over there in North Africa and all these areas, and that had a democracy, it had it all, and then
Yemen collapses. Headlines today: President flees, defense minister arrested, country may plunge into civil war.
Saudis build up near the border.
Right.
Fears of a regional conflagration.
There you go.
This was the bright spot for the Obama administration, and one of the few things that were working for him. And then the Houthis, or I think that's what it's called, rose up, and they slaughtered a number of people. And now they've taken the capital. The president, as we said, of Yemen has had to leave. Defense minister arrested. I can imagine how long he'll last. this is just, you know, just another indication that the Middle Eastern, you know, diplomacy that we have, or whatever plans we had for the Middle East. God, I mean, does anybody know what the plans we ever had for the Middle East that President Obama had? I mean, Bob, sit there. Do you know what his plan was? Was it to cause all of this friction and all of these things that are going on in the Middle East? Was that his idea? If it was, man, is he a success?
The foreign policy does not seem to be working out quite as
well. Well, see, now, who was our Secretary of State? Oh, yeah, Hillary Clinton. Oh, yeah, she's looking at being president. I can't wait for that one. I mean, does that mean then Europe turns on us too? You don't have to worry about the rest of the country. It'll make the state of Jefferson look like everybody wants to come move there.
So my question is, does ISIS move into the vacuum and expand the caliphate?
Well, you know what? It could. Why not? ISIS has moved into Afghanistan, which is why we're leaving more troops in Afghanistan, right? You know, that's the plan now.
Our hearts go out to, of course, Germany and all the national around the world, actually. I'll go through a list here. But, you know, the flight that they're still trying to find, they said the black box is damaged. But there were a bunch of German kids and their school and their teachers that were in Spain, going to Spain on a exchange trip. Like a field trip.
16 students.
And they were also killed. So according
155 people killed in this plane crash.
72 Germans, 35 Spaniards, 3 British, 3 Kazakhs. 2 Americans, 2 Argentinians, 2 Australians, 2 Colombians, 2 Iranians, 2 Japanese, 2 Mexicans, 2 Venezuelans, 1 Belgian, 1 Dane, 1 Dutch, 1 Israeli, 1 Moroccan, and 1 Turk. That's how they go through the nationalities on
155 people killed over the space of 8 minutes. It dropped 30,000 feet. This is according to one of the former guys from the ones that do the investigations. Said that part of the flight is usually the easiest. You take off, you get up to altitude, everybody kind of kicks back and relaxes a little bit. However, this one was losing like 3,000 feet every minute. And then when it got down to the 6,500 foot limit, it hit the mountain. And they did find the voice recorder and the sound recorder. So it's been damaged, but they said that they've got a lot of information off it. Which what happens there is it records everything in the cockpit, whether the pilots are talking into the microphone or just anything. There's microphones all over the cockpit, so it records all of what had happened. And then there's one in another part of the plane that records the technical side of it, and they haven't found that yet. But it's on the side of a mountain, and they're just saying it is a horrendous area. Right now, they're trying to find the other black box, which of course is not black; it's red. To take that before they even start bringing the bodies down.
Well, when we say German, it's a German airline, but it was in south of France that
crashed. Yeah.
So
the French have taken over the whole
thing. So they're technically calling it, the worst airline tragedy in France since 1981. They witnessed a major aerial accident in those years, a tragedy comparable to this last Tuesday's crash. But it says, according to this article, there were 113 deaths.
113? Well, they said 155 today. But, okay. I mean, but even anyway, you look at it, it's horrible. But the other thing, too, is when they're doing this investigation to find out what happened, I mean, it lost 2,000 or 3,000 feet a minute. I mean, so it's not like it was going down dropping like
a
rock.
Power dive,
it was going down gradually. I mean, really. And unless, so you're in the plane and you start, did something happen in the cockpit?
Was there a cabin pressure
loss? In the cockpit that just everybody went in?
Yeah.
Do you think maybe they were trying to make a crash landing, like even though it was in the mountains that maybe
– No, they just – I think they might have been trying something to happen, and maybe they're trying to glide over the mountains. Yeah. Who knows?
The A320 has a pretty good safety record. Now, another airplane of this same series had experienced a malfunction that caused the nose to drop. So that's where investigators are. I was listening to this on the BBC this morning.
Okay.
Also, they said that the debris field, there isn't a piece of this massive airliner larger than a car left in the debris
field. Yeah, you could see the debris field, and it was covering the side of this mountain, but it was just little bitty pieces. And you're looking at it thinking, well, did it hit someplace else? But no, this is just It's terrible. Anyway, hey, we got to take a break here. I just want to remind everybody that Shasta Regional Medical Center is ranked in the top 100 hospitals in the nation. You think about that. Shasta Regional Medical Center, our own little hospital right here in Redding, California, is in the top 100 hospitals in the nation. And this is not just once. This is the third year in a row. Shasta Regional is people well. What's that mean? They know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change their lives. And I tell you, Shasta Regional Medical Center has got a lock on that. We'll be right back. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460.
Broadway, Sister Act, the hilarious 5-time Tony-nominated musical smash is coming to Reading, and we're going to be there, right, Molly?
Yes, Linda, we will be there, as well as the preset VIP dinner. You can come, too, by going to ReadingCivic.com for all your tickets to the show and the meet-and-greet VIP dinner. That's March 25th, ReadingCivic.com.
How fun!
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta spring water drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta spring water?
Yes, sir. I'm pure and natural, sir.
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, drips or drops, you've got what it takes. So be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir.
Mount Shasta spring water. Pure and simple. Naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Finally, I figured out what it took.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR 1460. It's currently 51 degrees in the downtown studios on this beautiful Wednesday, the 25th of March, 7:33 in the morning. And you're not going to believe it. We have Captain Hook in the... But before we go to this segment, this is a portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, of course. Went in there the other day, and Leonard is just great. You know, it's great to have a jeweler that you trust. He buys gold. He sells gold. He, you know, fixed my girlfriend's prong on her wedding ring. Just like, here, let me, you know, he's just an honest guy who's been in the business for 40, 50 years. Plus, they always are highlighting their birthstone of the month. And, of course, that we only have just about 5 or 6 more days left in this month, which is Blue Topaz. So head on into Four Winds Jewelry, 7:34 in the morning. And let's go right into what's happening at the Cascade Theater. I know Peter Pan is going to be flying in here pretty soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Good morning, Jana.
Good morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On being the new, would you say, not just the artistic director, you're the general manager.
Correct.
Is that the title?
Yep, that's
okay.
Correct.
General manager of the Cascade Theater. And as it should be, you know, because we were waiting and there was like a period of time when who's going to be the person in charge. And then I said, Jana, and I said, that's just absolutely the most perfect.
Jana Laird is famous. She's famous.
And Alan.
But you know what? You know, it's, there's.
And baby makes three.
Well,
and
well four. Or five. Four. The thing about Jana Laird is that you have been such a part of the Cascade Theater for years. When James Santos left, and everybody thought, oh. What's going to happen? And James is missed. I mean, what a great showman!
Absolutely,
you stepped up and said, "No, we're not going to take. We're not going to back off." And not only have you not backed off, you have just
created Cascade Christmas to become a legendary production every year. Right, Carl? We look so forward to going on Thanksgiving weekend.
Frankly, I don't go to a lot of plays for a variety of reasons, but I go to yours all the time.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay, I mean, just keep. I mean, I don't want. But no, this is just the way. And Linda knows it. It makes her crazy. But she goes. Jana did it. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'll go see.
Now, not only we're sitting here with Jana Laird, and who's the new artistic director, and everything, you do it all down.
You're general probably, manager.
Probably if you catch
her
on the right day, you're changing the toilet paper too, right?
Probably.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do that.
But we're sleeping sitting up here, after the crowd.
We're sitting here with Captain Hook. Hey, Mighty.
How are you?
We're going to be talking pirate. Let's be talking pirate there.
Probably a bit of pirate for our life.
We were talking pirate before you got here.
Is that the play stuff? Is that little
Brad
Pike? Is that little parrot poop?
Or is that an ash from your cigar?
Okay.
Brad Pike is Captain Hook, and you've come in with – I just wish, you know, it's kind of like talking about pet of the week. How do you describe a darling dog? How do you describe a spectacular pirate costume?
Oh, honestly, I think you just have to see it in person. It's beyond description. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's handmade from scratch. Marcella, who's
really
our lead designer, seamstress – she spent copious hours on this.
No, there's this is like
I want to borrow it.
This is true Hollywood, you know, MGM Western costumes. Let's go on. But let's talk about with Captain Hook. Let's talk about you auditioned, obviously.
Yes.
And you've been in, I've seen your, I know that you've been in prior productions at the Cascade.
Well, I've definitely auditioned for several.
And I think you were in Cascade Christmas a couple times, right?
No, I haven't been in Cascade Christmas.
Then I've seen you in another performance.
Yeah.
Because you've got a familiar face, and we love the fact that you've got this presence. And here you are as Captain Hook. So tell us about what's going on. You guys are in rehearsals. When are the dates?
Oh,
when
April
are the dates?
17th through the 26th, 7th, yes. Mm-hmm. And, last night we went through our first run through, so it was very fun, very exciting. And we're just a few weeks away, and everything's just really coming together. So it's fun to see everything tie in.
Okay. Now, everybody knows about Jenna because she's real famous.
Hook.
But what do you do, Brad?
I mean, I'm a chiropractor.
That's it. There we go.
Oh, okay. My gosh. Oh, Peter Pan has just flown in with the...
Peter Pan has
just
brought herself in.
Come on over here on my microphone.
And what's your name there, Pita?
Mariah Skillman.
Mariah Skillman. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but Mariah Skillman, who had beautiful, beautiful hair and still does, you cut your hair for this part, didn't
you? I did. I also dyed it. I think it just really helped me get into the part and feel more like a little boy.
I'm not even going there. Okay. Now, how old are you?
I am 15.
You're 15. And where do you go to school at?
I am homeschooled.
Oh, you're homeschooled.
Yes.
Okay. Well, how did you know that you wanted to be Peter Pan?
Well, I've always loved Peter Pan and the story and all the different ways it's been told. And when I found out that the Cascade was doing Peter Pan, I was really excited. And was really hoping to get the part.
Have you been in other productions around here?
I have been in Willy Wonka, and I played Willy Wonka. I did not cut my hair for that one, but I also played JoJo in Horton Hears a Who.
Oh, okay. Jenna, is it hard? I mean, you put together some really. Are there going to be people flying? Are there
gonna
be people flying?
Yeah.
Oh.
Of course.
Are there going to be. Tinkerbell. Who plays Tinkerbell?
Actually, Tinkerbell is not played by a person.
Oh,
she is.
A light?
She is, yes, the, okay. The light.
The light.
The light that flies around. She has a lot of personality, a lot of character. She is interactive on stage, so you will see her and experience her.
What is it? How do you make Tinkerbell stronger? What is it? If everybody does something.
Everyone has to clap.
Clap. That's what I
clap
thought.
Clap your hands.
That's why I was doing that. And then I thought, well, maybe that's for a seal story or something. I was making this up for. Okay.
Look at her costume as well. Peter Pan. Peter Pan. Okay. So you come in with another beautiful handmade, just another gorgeous. I think your costume designer, Jana, has definitely outdone herself. I mean, if costumes have always been spectacular, but people, they've got to go see this performance for the costumes as well.
Our team has worked very, very hard. Our company designer, Marcella Brown, she has really kind of, this is her first year as the lead designer, and she's really, you know, taking a lot of pride in what she does, and she is truly talented. And we have on board Matt McDonald, who's our wig and hair specialist as well, who plays Smee as well, and Robin Tyler, who's, this is our second year with her, and then we just brought on board Whitney Pimentel, who is excellent. So,
well,
yeah, great team.
Well, now,
we're
sharing microphones here, and she was reaching for my microphone. It was me growling at her. What's the hardest part of putting this on?
You know, I actually think the hardest part of this entire production process has been the auditions. The auditions were extremely difficult because we had over 150 people audition for the show, but everything revolves around Peter Pan. And I didn't want to necessarily decide if we were going to cast a boy or a girl. I needed to cast whoever was right for the part. So... And it could have been a child, it could have been an adult, it could have been a teen, and, you know, so...
I mean, Robin Williams played Peter Pan, and
yeah.
Just, I mean, did he capture Peter Pan? Because he's a little boy.
You know what I love is that everybody has their own interpretation of Peter Pan. The main point you got to get to is youth, joy, and freedom. And an adventure, a spirit of adventure.
You should have auditioned, Linda, then.
Well, what I, you know, I think about that, Jana, with you, when what it is as a... And with an artistic eye and a director's eye, to have, you know, people that you've worked with before, they're brilliant, they show up, they're wonderful actors, and then you have to cast, like you said, it starts with Peter Pan,
mm-hmm.
And I commend you because that's got to be the most difficult part.
It was. We had over, you know, we had a very grueling process. I warned everybody in the beginning that it was going to be very difficult because. I mean, for Mary Poppins, you know, it needs to be a female, it needs to be an adult, it needs to have a certain look and stature. But for Peter Pan, it really could have been anybody, a boy or a girl. So the audition process was by far the most difficult.
Well, how did you select Peter? Yeah.
How did we select Peter? It actually came down to two people. And the other person is her understudy. They were both excellent. But
boy or girl?
Girl,
another girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, she plays slightly in the production, and she is the Peter Pan understudy. Well, Lauren Hoffer, she's amazing, and it really came down to it was a gut, feeling. I mean, how do you take two great people and choose between two great people? And it really, what it came down to, we thought and thought and thought about it, and it was a gut instinct based upon what we thought the potential could be as well.
Well, that is what a great director does. I mean, you have to take chances, and so we're thrilled. Mariah, can you share with us a line in a song? Or I hate to put you on the spot, but we are advertising the show, so let's. How about a little something from Peter Pan?
Okay.
However,
well.
We are reaching a lot of people out there worldwide. So I mean, here, let's just put in. There's no more than a million people probably listening right now. So.
Well, my favorite line is actually a line that I don't deliver, but it is one of Tiger Lily's lines. And right after I save her life, she comes in and tells everyone that Peter Pan is the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I say, yes, I know. So I think that's probably my favorite line.
Wow, that's used around here a lot, too. Amazing. Brad. Okay, let's go back to Brad. Brad's sitting here going, arg, arg. Okay, so, you know, you are just a happy guy. I mean, and you're happy. You just are. So how do you play Hook? I mean, Hook's kind of a, you know, dastardly type. The one, I mean, he's kind of the epitome of bad guys.
He is a very nasty guy, but the great thing about Hook is he's very pompous, and he's arrogant, and he's self-centered, so he gets the opportunity to be very flamboyant on stage, and that's where I really have the most fun with Hook. You can be mean and ornery, but there's that little something about him that's just so arrogant that he's you kind of like him. I mean, I do.
It is. You know, that's a good way to do it. I mean, there's something you got to make him kind of lovable.
Yeah.
How about a line from Captain Hook?
Aye, me hearties, you better be minding yourself. Go into the Peter Pan show or I'll be plunging me hook in ya.
Soul to the highest bidder. I think that'd be perfect for date night, Brad.
Aye. Aye, you'll have it there. I'll be plunging me hook into your lass. Oh, yeah, that'll get you a lot of dates.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put that one on Facebook. Okay. Go out with Brad. Go out with Brad. Watch out for the hook.
Okay, so tickets are on sale now at the Cascade Theater box office.
Oh, yes, and please get them soon because they are selling very fast.
Of course. You know, every performance that, you know, Gianna decides to put her hook into is always fantastic. So, okay, so tickets, and again, when the performances begin?
April 17th and run through the 26th.
All right. So, you know, I'm sure that at some point in there maybe we can have Pita fly through again and light, or maybe the good captain come in and right. Give us a couple of words. But Jenna, you know what, we're just so proud of the fact that you're at the Cascade and you're running it now. You know, and this isn't about anybody that came before, but there was a change, and so if you're going to make a change, let's make a change and let's make a big change. And so, you know, you're there, and you've got, and your assistant, I think you've got
Haley
mm-hmm. is there, and I'm just, we're just really stoked up about it.
Oh,
and I
think,
you know, people that say there's nothing to do around this town are so silly. I mean, but I still hear people say, I still read it in some of these blogs. Of course, those blogs are the ones that, you know, they live at home in a basement and drink Red Bull. And they, you know, they walk around all day in their underwear in the basement.
Just
an opinion. Just an opinion. All right. Peter Pan, Cascade Theater, starting
April 17th.
All right.
Get your tickets now.
Get them now. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460. It's 7:47 in the morning, 51 degrees today on Wednesday, March the 25th. We'll be right back.
The last weekend in March, you'll find answers for all your spring home improvement projects at the original Home and Garden Expo at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Need to speak to a home mortgage expert creating a new landscape? Need household improvements? A new roof, gutters, lighting, doors, windows, flooring, appliances, pool, spa, barbecue, or planning a garden? Speak to all the experts on hand to answer all your questions March 27th through the 29th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. Find more information online at readinghomeexpo.com. At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. With your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100 plus. We'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. And now through March 31st, save 50% on all sunglass frames. See our store for complete details. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSync. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS, and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy. Making your life easier.
people think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, my
great
friend.
Great tune.
Hey, next week, a week from tomorrow, in fact, Linda's going to be down at Wind River for Lady Bott and the Bluebirds.
I don't do songs like this, but no. This is they play this song with Dancing with the Stars. It's a great Wind River. Looking forward to that. Joe Larson is going to be my special guest. He's a trombonist, and Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on stand up bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums. Just went there yesterday. You know, there's going to be the special Romance on the River menu. And, we just had a meeting about what April 2nd is. The music goes from 7 to 9. It doesn't cost to go in. It's a great night at Wind River. Come join us. It musically is going to be a really fun, very rich night.
We're already making reservations. There's a number of them. So if you want to come in and get a good seat, just give them a call at 243-3377, Romance on the River at the Elements Lounge. It's totally non-smoking in that area, as is 70% of Wind River. So get in around 6 o'clock, have a great dinner, and then listen and sing and dance and just bounce around out there like the rest of us do. Okay, big doings at the Igo Cemetery. Now, it's kind of low-key, but it hit the paper today, too. But in the veterans community, this has been going back and forth for a couple of months. What happened is, out at Igo, it's, we had our own cemetery board and all this, and these beautiful monuments were put up for Special Forces, Purple Heart, Submariners, all of these, Korean War veterans. Beautiful monuments. And then the state comes in and says, we have a monuments board here. And they said, well, we sent these to you. Here, we sent them to you several times, numerous times, concepts, everything was okay. Well, they came back a couple months ago, or a month or so ago, and said, after Steve Jorgensen had retired, and said, it doesn't meet our requirements for size and location. Can you believe this? Can you, almost for the first time, you almost bleeped me right there, Bob. Can you believe this crap? Anyway, so of course the veterans are upset because they were saying we were going to have to move the monuments that were there already, that were already in steel and rebar, and some of them. We're going to have to move them to this new spot that they had not picked out yet nor built. We're going to have to move them. Well, you can imagine the veterans community how we felt about this. And they were going to have a meeting yesterday. Well, before the meeting started, I called down to this guy Bolin down in Sacramento. Said, hey, we're just trying to find out what's going on so we can talk about it tomorrow on the radio and, on the TV. And then, of course, the Jim Schultz, who is the veterans reporter for the Record Searchlight, makes it for front page. Yay, Jim. Great article, too. Keith Boylan, who is the deputy secretary of the agency's Veterans Services Division, reassured the people who had gathered at the cemetery for what was billed as a meeting of the cemetery's Monuments and Memorial Committee that the monuments can stay. They're not going to make a move. Can you believe this crap? I mean, this is exactly what Jefferson said about something about shedding blood. Anyway, no, it's about patriots need to. Anyway, but this is exactly what's wrong with government. Here's our cemetery up here. We have our own monument committee. We've done tasteful monuments. And what is the, what do these jerks say? And, you know, frankly, I hope he's listening. I may just send him a link to it. But what do they say? No existing memorials in the cemetery will be moved. But he said future monuments, including two that have already been designed and paid for by donations. Air Force and Vietnam War veterans would have to follow strict guidelines that dictate, among other things, their size, scope, and placement. Not trusting the people who live here. Not trusting the commission that we have on there that is made up of people like Kim Chamberlain, John, okay, I'm just drew a blank there.
In other words, these bureaucrats don't trust our people to have the brains to do this on their own.
That's right. You know, and the veterans have got together to put all this stuff together. We don't trust them. We just don't trust the fact that these people who can do it. Connie Granola, who is heads the cemetery support board, that's not being dissolved. But they are dissolving the memorial committee. Oh, it wasn't put together right. The site for the new miners and memorials will feature a flagpole at the center. It will be surrounded by separate memorials paying tribute to each branch. Yeah, that's great. But we don't know when it's going to be, and we don't know when, you know, we haven't seen any paper signed or anything like this. But this is a typical way, you know, oh, we're here to help you. Oh, by the way, tear your monuments down and move them to a place we haven't designated yet. I mean, is this just kind of
bureaucracy at its worst?
Thank you. Bureaucracy at its worst. You can't. How these people that, like for the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, they've already raised $250,000 for this. What are you going to tell the people is, oh, by the way, now we have to change the design for this.
Isn't that kind of sacrilege?
To meet some paper pusher's criteria.
No, isn't it kind of sacrilege? It would be like moving a grave. I mean, the monument is a monument that's been erected in honor of those who have fallen. So I would think that that would be like
it is. It is a you know what it is? Here it is, a local group of veterans, and you know it's a cross section of the community. And what they're saying is, well, you know what? You have to dissolve that committee because it wasn't put together right. That's exactly what they said. You have to dissolve that committee because it wasn't put together right. You know, and so when you hear that, it's like, and they say, well, you can reapply for the new one. You know what? This is a typical example. And I wonder if this guy actually realizes what he sounds like, what an insufferable prig he sounds like when he says things like that. No, I can say prig.
Got it.
As long as it ends with a G. Here's bureaucracy. I picture this guy with his little glasses and his little Nez Perce glasses on his face. I don't think that's the right word. And his little bow tie, little skinny bow tie, you know, that he's in there, and his little mouth is all, you know what, you wasn't put together right. You wasn't put together right, so you have to dissolve it.
Little clipboard under his arm.
Give this to me. Oh, no, the clipboard. Oh, no, he's got this big suitcase. He's got this big briefcase that's bigger than he is. Oh. He comes in and says, you didn't put this together right. Phones are ringing. Thanks. Tell me what he looks like. What's this guy look like? You know, I'm a Cindy.
You're fired up, and as well as you should
well,
be.
Well, you know what? How stupid.
Let it just
How
be.
How stupid.
Let it be.
Let it be what?
Let the monuments
oh.
be
let the
where
monuments
they are.
Alone.
Leave them alone where the other two are planned. Leave them alone if you want it from this, from that point forward. If you feel like things need to be reconstructed or reorganized, then somehow it's not the Brown Act. Yeah. Of course, the thing that comes to my mind is it the Brown Act? Is it not the Brown Act?
Who cares?
It's kind of a half.
Nobody pays attention to the Brown Act
anymore. Anyway, so that's kind of like my analogy.
Act.
The half
that
Brown Act.
Is that a light tan then?
I guess that's
okay.
I guess.
We call this the Light Tan Act, where they come in and they bother you. Under the instead of the Brown Act, it's a Light Tan Act, where they come in and they, you know what? Oh, you can't build these memorials till we build this area where we're going to have the memorials. Oh, excuse me, I mean, it's, come on, you know, Kim Chamberlain, Connie Granola, our special forces.
Yes.
Okay, how about this, Commander Gibson? Come on, these are great people. Anyway. All right, maybe I protest too much.
Headlines are, vet monuments can stay, but officials are dissolving cemetery panel.
Yeah, there you go. Good job. Good job, state officials. Good job. You know what? What a bunch of jacks you are.
Well, they're going to replace it with a focus group that'll make sure that all viewpoints are, you know. Are
no, not even that. Not even that. Here's what they're doing. They're taking something that works at a local level, and they're infringing on it. They're infringing. They're stamping it because you know why? They're getting paid their $150,000 a year, and they need to do something to justify their jobs. So this is what they do. They come down to Redding, California, who honors veterans, unlike the Veterans Administration of California. Yeah. And they want, oh, no, you can't do it like that. Okay. Deep breath. Maybe we'll get some people on from the board.
Well, if coming we up in the next, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I can get Mr. Boland on. And you know what? Perhaps Mr. Boland actually has good reasons for this. Maybe there's something. I left a message for him to call me. Why do I think maybe they won't?
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking about, is your world filled with tech or should it be?
We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. With an end-of-March deadline for a framework nuclear deal with Iran looming now just days away, Secretary of State John Kerry is heading back to the talks. He says foes of the nuclear deal he's trying to reach are being unreasonable.
Anybody standing up in opposition to this has an obligation to stand up and put a viable, realistic alternative on the table. And I have yet to see anybody do that.
Kerry is set to leave Washington today on his way to Switzerland. President Obama has been on the phone with leaders of the countries most affected by yesterday's jetliner crash in the French Alps.
The White House says the president spoke with both German Chancellor Merkel and Spanish Prime Minister Rajoy to convey his condolences and those of the American people. He noted the loss of many school children and infants, calling it a terrible tragedy. The president also offered the full assistance of American officials.
That's SR News White House correspondent Greg Cluxton. Distractions, especially talking with passengers and using cell phones, play a far greater role in car crashes involving teen drivers than ever known before, according to a new AAA study. AAA spokesperson Jennifer Ryan.
We recommend a phased-in approach for when passengers are allowed to be in the vehicle. And AAA recommends no more than one passenger for the first 6 months of driving.
Also at SRNnews.com, orders to U.S. factories for long-lasting manufactured goods were down in February for the third time in the past 4 months.
The Commerce Department says orders for durable goods decreased 1.4% following a 2% increase in January. A key category, which serves as a proxy for business investment spending, declined 1.4% in February, the sixth consecutive monthly decline. February's weakness was widespread, with declines in demand for commercial aircraft, autos, and machinery.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. It's been slow going for the major indexes on Wall Street. In early trading, the Dow down just about 50 points. This is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
100 million viewers experienced the wonder of the epic miniseries, The Bible. Now comes the next chapter, A.D., The Bible Continues, on NBC. Producers Mark Burnett and Roma Downey.
A.D., The Bible Continues, picks up the story at the crucifixion of Jesus.
A.D. 33, the Romans are starting to lose a grip on power.
These disciples take on the Roman Empire.
This is Game of Thrones meets The Bible.
A.D., The Bible Continues, Easter Sunday, April 5th on NBC.
The Senator Ted Cruz is signing up for Obamacare. SRN's Linda Kenyon says it's true.
The news comes just one day after the Texas senator became the first Republican to officially announce his run for the White House. Senator Cruz was getting his health care benefits through Goldman Sachs, where his wife is an executive, but she's taking an unpaid leave to join him on the campaign. So Cruz and his family are no longer eligible for the company-provided plan. During his speech announcing his candidacy, Senator Cruz pledged to repeal every word of Obamacare.
That is SRN's Linda Kenyon reporting. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is investigating the safety of a Lumber Liquidators laminate flooring made in China. The move comes after a report on CBS's 60 Minutes earlier this month that said that Lumber Liquidators' Chinese-made laminate flooring actually contains high levels of formaldehyde, and besides storing dead bugs and animals, formaldehyde is known as a carcinogen when it's wrongly handled. This is SRN News. A foodborne illness that contributed to the deaths of three people has been traced to a second production facility operated by Bluebell Ice Cream.
A Bluebell spokesman says a contaminated 3-ounce cup of ice cream was traced to a plant at Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. 10 products recalled earlier this month by the company were from a production line at a plant in Brenham, Texas, where the company's based. The recall began when 5 patients at Via Christi St. Francis Hospital in Wichita, Kansas, became ill with listeria while hospitalized. Officials determined at least 4 drank milkshakes that contained Bluebell ice cream. 3 of those patients later died. The contaminated 3-ounce cup was found at the hospital. Keith Peters, SRN News.
A year-long investigation by the Associated Press that links severe abuses on Asian fishing trawlers to dinner tables in this country has prompted action by Thailand's biggest seafood company. They're going to stop doing business with some of those trawlers. More details at SRNNews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:05 this morning on Wednesday, March the 25th. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Grab your phone because you're going to have some questions here with our next guest. We're streaming live throughout the world, KCNR1460.com. Weather today is going to be absolutely beautiful, isn't it, Linda?
We have a forecast. It's currently 53 degrees in the downtown studios. We're going to have a sunny day with temperatures around 80 degrees, mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 57. It looks like tomorrow we have about 83. And tomorrow night, clear evening with temperatures around 55. The weather is brought to you each and every day by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Call them for 365-3793 for all of your Shasta Gas Propane needs.
That's right. Veteran-owned business, too. So a lot of things going on. We have, the last hour, in this last hour, we've talked about a number of things, of the Cascade Theater, memorials.
Numerous.
Up at IGO, and, you know, the stamp of bureaucracy that inhibits the free thinking, taking responsibility, the initiative of its citizens a lot of times. And this morning, Linda and I, as we were getting ready to go to work, we're listening. I watch all the stations, believe it or not. I mean, some people get really weird when I tell them, I watch MSNBC a lot. I watch Morning Joe because every so, you know, I like to listen to some of the guests they have. Mm-hmm. And today they had a guy by the name of Bill McDermott, who is the president or the CEO of something called SAP. It's a German-owned company, but it deals with business software.
Oh, okay.
And some of the things he was talking about for the future and where the jobs are and all that. And I was sitting there, and I turned to Linda. I said, you know what? How fortuitous this was, because we have Dan Morrill coming on today, who heads up one of these type of companies and talking about technology. And there's a lot of firms right here in Reading that reach worldwide. And nobody knows about it. I mean, so welcome,
yeah.
Dan.
Well, thank
good
you.
Morning,
thank
Dan.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Any life story is a little bit complicated, but I think in a nutshell, I could say I am a Reading boy. Family moved up here in 1965, and I could give you the litany of schools that I attended. Including graduating from Shasta High School. I'm one of the Nova guys back in the day.
Okay, they're giving each other high fives around
what
here
year,
now.
Real quick. Yeah, yeah. I also can tell you I attended Live Oak when it was a different mission than it is these days. Went out to Shasta College, and, it was one of those experiences that kind of an awakening for a guy that grew up in a small town where teepee burners – really dominated the landscape.
For what?
I don't know if you remember teepee burners.
Teepee burners, absolutely. Redding,
that's one of the things when you drove through, you know, up,
teepee
up the
center. Teepee burners?
Okay, when you go on South 273, there's the lumber place down
yes.
there.
Yeah.
There's a conical metal structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we were growing up, I what age? You're probably about my age.
Yeah, 20.
At night, you'd drive by these things. They'd be glowing cherry red with sparks coming out.
Okay,
that's how they burned off the scrap from the lumber mill.
Oh, okay,
the
teepee burner. Got it. Okay.
When I was in fifth grade, one of our science experiments, when we were walking to school, we would count the number of stripes in the road that we could see. And that's so we tracked that every day, the visibility. And often you could see maybe two stripes. Some days it would be four stripes.
Because of the teepee burners.
Because the inversion layer, where that smoke would come up and hit the ground. And, you know, visibility would be maybe, you know, 150 yards.
You're talking to a kid that graduated from high school in a place called Yakima, Washington, which had all these apple and orchards, all these orchards that they call it smudging.
Yeah.
It's illegal to do that now, but
yeah.
they burn off oil. And there was a smudge layer that nobody wore anything light to school during those days because you came out black.
You know,
I understand.
So you teepee burners, okay?
So, you know,
me there.
I attended Shasta College, and I would call it a great awakening for a young Redding boy to understand that that fundamentally I came to understand I can compete, which is, you know, that's kind of a thing. You know, I was growing up a little bit intimidated by the likes of UCLA and Stanford and all the rest of that stuff, but thankfully, you know, Shasta College is one of those institutions.
You got your start there.
Yeah, and, you know, since then, you know, you go off and you do your corporate thing.
Did you have a teacher in college that became a mentor, or when you had your moment where you said you found out you could compete, was there, again, we always talk about the aha moment, you know, when you went, oh, it was this that I decided I can do something great with my life.
Oh, you know, that's a great, there's a host of names, Dick Raines and James Polson, McMurdo, Leach. There was a long list of things. But, you know, oddly, probably the one that got me the most was competing for a CH2M Hill scholarship.
Oh, great.
And sitting down in front of Claire and trying to explain my ambition to be whatever I had to be to get that internship. But it really mattered, too. But, you know, I crammed my 2-year preparation for going to a university into 3.5.
Of my schooling. I crammed 2 years of school into 4. You know,
yeah.
So I just, you know.
It was tough, but yeah. I got through that.
Where'd you go to after a Shasta?
Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've worked with them when I was working on some future projects. The Marine Corps was working on the Marine Corps Warfighting Lab.
Yeah.
And we had Cal Poly played a good part in this.
Yeah. So
did you know at that point what you were going towards? You're in college.
You know, yes and no. I knew where the opportunity were. In those years, that was the front end of a realization of what computers could do for us. And we were still building computers out of what now would be considered sticks and stones, hands and
organs. And what year was this?
Would this be early IBM?
Yeah.
70s?
It was late 70s,
late
early
70s,
80s.
Yes.
Okay.
No, that's my era, too. And I remember that's when you had the huge,
right,
like the room-size computer.
Right. And so after doing that, I spent some time, did my graduate work with NASA, working on a project for the space shuttle, and then joined Hughes Aircraft, fighting off the Russian missile attacks and developing equipment for this Star Wars stuff that they were doing.
Teepee burners to Russian missiles,
all that kind of stuff. And then eventually I had an opportunity to come back to Redding because Redding has had a thread of high-tech industry here since the 60s.
Okay.
Actually, since before then, always been a thread here.
Oh, man,
okay,
this
I want to
is
stop
great.
Right there. We're going to take an early break because
Dan Morrow is our guest.
Graduate from Cal Poly and San Luis Obispo, but has a number of tech companies here. And what he just said is that Redding has always had a thread
high tech
right here. And I just love hearing that. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you, of course, by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive and Espresso Joe's. Get coffee anywhere of any type, of any persuasion at great prices in the walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in the state. We'll be right back after these messages.
A tax professional that truly understands taxes and can review your investments to help lower your tax bill, call Tom Wood, certified financial planner with the Advice Center. Tom specializes in tax preparation for businesses and investors. Whether you have a business and want to lower your tax liabilities, or are an investor that would like to lower the taxes you pay on your investments, you want an experienced, compassionate advisor like Tom Wood at the Advice Center. Call Tom at 244-7526 for top quality tax preparation, or this month, Tom's offering a free investment review to see if your investments are tax efficient. Call 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. For experienced tax preparation, a free investment review, or any of your tax, financial, or insurance needs, call 244-PLAN or go to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Kathy and I have kind of given up on winter. This warm weather means ethanol-free 93 for all the blowers, weed eaters, and lawnmowers. And start filling those barbecue bottles. We have clear and red diesel at all of our plants. Talk to Sherry if you need CFN or Fleetwide cards, which are accepted over 40,000 locations in the U.S. The delivery trucks are starting to fill tanks for construction and loggers who are starting back to work, so give Danny a call. Northern Lights Energy. We deliver all the products that we sell, or you can pick up at the plant at three locations. Johnny and Bobby got two more used heaters ready to go. If you'd like a free quote, give us a call. Northern Lights Energy. The old-fashioned way, one customer at a time. In Corning, see Robin. Weaverville, see Joe. In Reading, the rest of us. 241-2196. And thanks a lot.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Wednesday, March the 25th, 8:19 in the morning, 51 degrees out there, going up to, gosh, what, 78 to 80 today, I think. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Bob.
Shasta Gas Propane bringing you the weather. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. You know what? You're looking for a pistol or a long gun. You go to Bastiani Arms. He's always got something on sale there. His men and women working there are just experts on weapons. And they can tell you everything you need to know. They'll help you fit to a weapon. They have classes down there in concealed carry and hunting. And they have two of the best gunsmiths in the whole area working there. And John Bastiani's one of them. Head on down there, 2539 Larkspur in Reading, or give them a call, 222-8222, opened Monday through Saturday. Our guest is Dan Morrill, who is talking about tech, and he's got the credentials for it. But one of the great things he said before we broke, that high tech technology has been running through Reading forever.
Yeah, I guess we can – I don't know which direction you want to go, but I think if you were interested, you could go down and talk to the Shasta Historical people,
right.
that group down there, and start talking to them about the innovations associated with the mining, the timber industry, that it's deep and rich, and we contributed to things like putting wheels on tractors. Some of that original work was done up here in the North State. The technology involved in building Shasta Dam and clearing that stuff out was unique and amazing. The impact that we had in the timber industry back in the day was amazing. The work that Sierra Pacific did in payroll management, the IT group at Mercy Hospital, developed the software that all of the Catholic Healthcare West organization adopted up and down the West Coast was done out of here in Reading. You can go to Cooper Vision, you can go to Orthotech, you can go to Pacific Western Systems. You can go down the list. It's always been here.
Wow. You know what? You don't think about it, but, you know, we went through this here Pacific lumber mill last year. They are using machines there. They're cutting the logs. Computers are doing it. These machines are designed by Red Emerson.
Sure.
And his people that are used all over. And the guy just sits there, and he can override it if he sees something that's, you know, needs to be adjusted. But you're absolutely right. And then just think – I never even thought about it, the way the dam was built and all the stuff around here.
And, and those kind of stories continue. For some reason, if you want some of the highest capacity, highest tech door manufacturing equipment – that's part of Redding's history, and there's a group now, it's down to Chico, that's still doing some of the same work. I think Vorwood is still around and is still building equipment.
Yeah.
That's all stuff that's been here. You know, I mean, one of the things that that I think needs to be put on the table early and said often is Redding is not the Redding that it was even 5 years ago. This is a completely different town. And, you know, if I have any message to those of us who've been around a little bit, is we need to pick our eyes up and pay attention to what's going on around us because things have changed dramatically. For instance, this morning while I was drinking my coffee, I was looking at patents issued. You want to take a guess at how many patents were issued in 2013 to people who live in Reading?
I have no idea.
20.
20 patents. Okay. In 2013.
Issued. 2013. Issued. 2014, another 20, and we're on pace to do another 20 this year. And these are you know, a patent being issued is a sign of research. It's a sign of not just research but successful research. And it means that principled investigators are right here in our community doing it.
Well, a patent also means is innovation in many cases where
Absolutely.
You're taking an idea or you're taking maybe something that's already there and you've improved on it, but some of it is just coming right out of your head from scratch. So that, you know, and then this is not an easy process. So when you see that, 20 patents each year for the last 3 years and probably many before that.
We have one of the leading innovators in the country, goes all over, Nick Webb, with his Lassen Scientific and the other companies. He holds 40-plus patents. And he is a speaker on the circuit about innovation. He's created a new toy system.
Yeah, he's been on our show several times, too. It might be time to bring Nick back, too.
So Optest is the name of your company or your website. You have four.
Yeah, I have several.
Okay. Well, I just wanted the first one, and I was saying, and it said quantifying color.
Yes.
Share with our listeners when they go on this this particular page what this is about.
Okay. Our company works with semiconductor manufacturing organizations. So we don't build the computer chips, but we work with the people who do. And our role in their world is often they'll say, you know, I have some kind of a manufacturing problem. Can you help me out? Build a robot, do some software. I don't know what you got to do, but please help me out. In this effort in Optest, when we saw this new solid-state lighting coming on, the LEDs that you see in the stoplights and taillights of cars, we jumped into that space because it's a new technology. It's very interesting work. And if you're kind of a propeller head, it's just the best thing ever that could happen. It's just a lot of fun.
Propeller head.
So we dove into that. And what we discovered was that color is one of those areas that we've never really brought into a true mathematical kind of how do you describe color?
Yeah, how do you quantify it?
How do you and that was the problem, and it's impacting manufacturing.
I want you to make a blue color here.
Yeah, and what is blue?
And
blue is what the eye perceives. So
Absolutely. What
we did is we set about to create a system that would remove the guesswork or the perception of color and turn it into something that's measurable like a yardstick, right? And I can stick a yardstick up against color. And I don't care who makes it. I don't care what eyeball you have or what glasses you're wearing, what time of day it is, or how much eye fatigue. You saw the dress deal, right?
Yeah.
Where the dress changes color.
Right.
That's a function of eye fatigue and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We removed all that aspect so that we can now give manufacturers a tool that they can use to say, well, this is the color I'm going to use, and that color will always be that color mathematically defined. So we can do math on color now.
So one of the big issues that's happening with our proliferation of small screen devices is, of course, they're illuminated by light emitting diodes or organic LEDs,
mm-hmm.
and there's a strong blue component which it is being shown is causing strain, if not harm. Is that the kind of areas that we're looking at to try to fix that problem?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of big topics here, but you know the human eye is easily fooled. What we think is white light is not really white. It's a combination of colors. And some lighting companies jumped on the idea of mixing blue and yellow to give you a perception of white. Unfortunately, your eye has other sensors in the back with red and green. And if that light doesn't contain those components, then text looks a little bit more blurry than it should. Or your skin tone looks a little bit more zombie-ish.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, these are issues created by standards, created by designers who really haven't explored that space before. It's a big topic.
LED lighting is brand new.
Yeah, brand new.
I'll shut up now.
Okay.
You know.
Thanks, Bob.
Bob, you can have him on your show for 2 hours, okay? We only got him for another 35 minutes, all right? I mean, I know you'd love to discuss this with him. Frankly, I don't even know what the hell you
Science.
Two are talking about at this point. Let's be kind of general here. Okay. You know. Bad Bob's been with us since the very beginning. There's a sign up there that says, don't cut the red wire. That's been up there for 6 years now. The reason we have that up there is because we cut the red wire one time, and everything went off the air.
And it was red. You can't quantify red on
we
that one. It's just red.
Somebody said, what's the most important thing anybody ever said to you? Don't cut the red wire. I heard that before in Iraq, too, when we're working with IEDs. Don't cut that red wire. Okay, Dan Morrow is our guest. We watched a guy, and we talked about earlier, is Bill McDermott. Talked about who is now the CEO of SAP, which is a software company out of Germany. I think Germany owns them, but they for business management and all this. And one of the things he talked about was college graduates. He says things are going so fast now that that tech is growing so fast, exponentially, that it just is. And he looked at the top jobs for the next 5 years. And the first one is IT. And then by the time you get down to manufacturing, that was like number five. And then out of that IT, it was like six different fields there, you know, the coding, the data mining. He said one of the problems it was before was there was so much data in different forms that they could have all these people working and they would just touch like 10% of it.
Mm-hmm.
And how that has – now it's changing because you can combine all the data onto one – program, like I guess that's program be the closest thing I could imagine, is what he said. It has infinite power and resources and size. And he said, he said, it's just phenomenal. And this is what, and it's just growing all the time. this is where he said America needs to really look at for their college graduates.
And he's absolutely right. You know, let's come at it from a little different perspective. We talk about, you know, there's a lot of energy in our community about making jobs and economic development.
Okay? Yes.
I'd like to change the language a little bit. Instead of talking about making jobs, right, in the sense of employee-employer kind of things, let's talk about work that generates money. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, and I want to make that shift because back in the day, big corporations, big businesses, that's kind of where you went to get those jobs. With the advent of the information age, that the world is a very, very different place for our people coming into the market space now. The internet makes entry into business very, very easy, right? Second thing is we're past the information age. Anybody can become a subject matter expert if they will sit down and study any given subject for maybe 2 years. You can become a subject matter expert in any topic you want. You just have to do the seat time to study a topic. There's so much going on, and it's that easy because
all the
information is there. All right. So now you can be a subject matter expert in 2 years. Once you're a subject matter expert, you got two problems. One problem is to know what to do, and that's where we are now. It's not a question of, you know, do I have information about. The question is, what do I do with that information? And that problem comes in two forms. It comes in the form of somebody that has the skill set to take that information and to turn it into something that creates value, not generates money, but just creates value, right? And then the second part of it is somebody that has enough experience and has the resources and the vision to know exactly whether something does, in fact, create value. Right, because just because I can do something doesn't mean I should.
Right.
See, that. So, in essence, that's a space I live in. I can answer the question: how do we get something done? In other words, I have people on staff who write software. We can do printed circuit boards. I can make metal. I can do mechanical design. I can build robots. What do you need? My problem is I need somebody who understands markets well enough to say that if you build this, then it will have a lot of value, and that a lot of value will turn into cash.
And then they will come.
They will come.
That's the part we kind of talked about back there when I said this is kind of where all the young people, and you turned to me and you said it's not just young people.
No.
It's people like
you.
But
we have to change our mindset of people of my age, that you've got to open your eyes and start getting with it.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
This is where the experience comes in. I've always said there's three, you know, the type of people that can envision things.
Yeah.
And then there's the type of people that can build the things that people have envisioned. The envisioned people envision that can't always build it or bring it to fruition. But then there's people that can take their vision and build it, but they can't do anything with it. They don't have the vision. But you've got that one person that can not only envision it and build it, but then can make it work. And what you were talking about, you know, earlier, don't worry about the break. Just write these down. We're just going to run right through this break. Bob, the producer, goes, oh, guys, you're doing it again. Because this is a really important subject. The fact that that somebody's envisioned a piece of technology, it takes somebody who's got the experience then to take that technology and say, this is how we can use it.
Yeah. And, you know, part of – I mentioned Reading is a very different place.
Yeah.
Part of the story is the transformation that's happened in our local economic development corporation. And I'm sure you've had Mark LaSalle and that group.
Mark's been on.
I can't tell you – it's hard to put into words what a tremendous shift that has been and what it's meant to our community. One of the things going on – if you go onto their ShastaEDC.org, I think it is – and you look at the blogs, go to their blog section, and over on the right-hand side is a list of all of the young startup-oriented, growth-oriented companies that exist in our community that they have identified. And it scrolls down and scrolls and scrolls and scrolls and scrolls. It's a healthy list. They have dedicated part of their attention to saying, okay, fine, you know, we've got these startups. Let's make sure they're healthy. Let's create – we now have an angel investment group that exists here in town. They're now doing pitch breakfasts where people who have ideas can stand up and say, here's my idea, And people who've been around the block a couple of times can listen to it and say, you know, sharpen the stick there or move that in. So the pitch breakfasts are in place. Angels in place. They're working on an incubator to transition these people, give them some workspace. And there are several businesses in town who have come to recognize that issue of mentoring. And there are places now, and this has just happened in the last couple of years, where young businesses can go and land in developed really nice office space and get on with the business of growing a company out. And that funnel really has only been in existence just a couple of years, and we're beginning to see the fruit of that. And it's transformational is what it is.
Absolutely. You know, I'm on EDC right now, and they're talking about different things made in Shasta County.
That's the
Part one. 31, Vision Lab.
Yeah.
Some of the things, too, is we've had other people on here that have done things like it's a couple who invented, or they looked at the way that tests were being made, and they invented a simpler way of measuring it. And it's made, it's with a it's a plastic piece of plastic they make at their house, but it goes all over the world. I think they may have expanded out by then. Just that idea. And I've heard what you've said before is that there's somebody else here that has maybe even in this building, used to be in this building, that came in and found a way of putting an app on phones that can tell where if your kid's talking on or texting.
That's right.
I think that came out of here.
Yeah.
If they're texting while they're driving.
And the Is My Watermelon Ripe application came out of Reading. There's a group that figured out tip jars that's out of Reading. There's all kinds of
tip jars.
Stuff. Tip jars, yeah.
You mean like, how much to tip?
No, the idea is, a lot of organizations that help nonprofits raise money and move money collect a percentage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These guys says we won't collect a percentage. If you are grateful for what we do, right over there is a tip jar, an electronic tip jar.
Oh.
And they innovated this idea of not doing percentages. Just, if you want to give all your money to somebody, give it to them. And if you want to, say thank you to me for providing the service, then do it.
Okay.
Very simple. Exploded on them. It was a marvelous innovation.
We had a Jen on here yesterday talking.
Tip jar.
I like to think that we have an eclectic group of guests. We're probably up 1,600 guests now over our time here. Yesterday was a gentleman talking about Israel. And spent lots of time in Israel, and there's an app that Israelis have. I guess you could get it here. That if a rocket is launched, on their iPhone will start, it'll start making little alarm sounds, so they know to get, and it'll say where it's at, so they know where to get into a bunker. And you think about that. Wow. Anyway, okay. So we've got all this technology here. How do we use this? And one of the things you've said is, Reading, get your eyes off the ground. Let's take a look at what we've got here. We've got some huge capabilities, and we can grow even faster. How do we bring more? I'm thinking three things. I'm birdwalking around here, but how do we bring more into town?
This is a question I wrestle with every day. Is just exactly that one. There are a couple of things that I think we're saying. The first one is as a community. It's time that we change the stories we tell.
Hmm.
Yes.
That's a powerful message, Dan.
No, it is. And it starts right here.
Yeah.
I'm holding up the record searchlight.
Yeah.
And they have started.
Yes, they have.
They have. I want to take my hats off to Silas Lyons and the people. They have started putting positive things about our community on the front page.
Right.
One of the things that they won't put in their paper is just, this paper is part of a larger organization.
Right. Scripps.
Right. Scripps.
Who's divesting themselves of it, by the way.
Have a look at where Scripps goes to get their innovation. How about that? This, Reading, is the place where they innovate. This is one of the leading pieces of that entire network is right here out of Reading, out of that newspaper. That's a great newspaper. These guys are on the edge. When I think about what they have managed to do from an industry perspective, these guys are amazing.
You're talking about their websites and all those
things? The websites and how they manage the paper and how they...
This is put together all over the world, this paper is.
Yeah. Well, change the stories we tell. And I think that's important for us because our kids are listening, right? And if what they hear is a public discourse of you can't, there is no, there's no possibility, it's not going to happen here, if that's what they're hearing, they won't be hearing about the guys who are doing it, who are making it. They won't see the paths, right? My personal story, I grew up in the, you know, it's not going to happen here. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I do react to those messages. I hate it. Drives me absolutely crazy.
You still hear that.
Our kids you can't do that, it's too hard. No, they can. They are bright. They are energetic. They're amazing young people. If anybody can figure out how to make it work, they can figure out how to make it work. And we can – so we need to change the stories.
We need to nurture that.
We need to change the stories.
We need to do – you're right. We have to change – well, and when we first started the station, one of the things we had a group of businessmen on, including Mark LaSalle.
Mm-hmm.
We'd come on every Friday morning.
Yeah.
And when our show was over at 9 o'clock and for an hour, they talked about the good things that were happening business-wise. And we managed to herd those cats for like a year. You know,
Randy Denham, Kent Daggs.
I mean, very busy, busy people. But trying to get them all here or one at a time they gave it, you know, a year. But it was a positive look at what was happening with business and technology in Shasta County in Redding. So we were painting that picture. But you're right. If you paint a picture that it's not going to happen, people pick that up. And already you've lost the battle.
Yeah.
Right there.
The second thing on my hit list is that you and I, Carl, have to pick up our game from a business perspective. Right? You know, in a smaller market like this, it's often, you know, you float to a level where you look around and you say, I'm doing pretty well. But it doesn't really rise to that level of world class, oh, my gosh, I'm so surprised to see that happening here. The internet has flattened out the world market so much that there is no reason why a business here can't be a world-class, market-rocking, disruptive kind of a business. We could look at Dutch Brothers Coffee.
I was just thinking Dutch Brothers.
Right?
And and Black Bear. They're banging it out.
Yeah.
When you and I make the commitment to say, you know what, not status quo. I can do better. And we start looking at what we can do better, right?
Yeah.
And we find the prosperity associated with that. Living it, walking it, doing it.
Yep.
That puts us in two places. One, it puts us in a place where the young people are looking up and seeing, you know what, this is the set of things you need to do to be successful. They'll see it. They'll look at us and they'll say, this is how it's done, and they will mimic it. Right.
Yep.
So hopefully they pick up all the good stuff we do, because the lousy stuff we do, we just won't tell them about.
Yeah,
hopefully they don't see it.
The second part of that is when we get on the top of the game. When you know, I attend the pitch breakfasts that EDC has been putting.
That's got to be fabulous.
It's a lot of fun.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm.
But what I see there is I see young people with a tremendous amount of energy, with a tremendous amount of skill. They can make things happen, but what they're missing is some of the, I'll call it combat hardened business acumen,
yeah.
And you know what I mean.
Sure.
You know, after I've got a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks. You know, I mean, and that comes with time, and it comes from being in the dance. And these people, they haven't had that opportunity, and they need you and I to engage in their world, to say, you know, in a very helpful, friendly, mentoring fashion,
you know,
here's how you can find that narrow path to something that's really going to bring some prosperity to you. Got to go this way, put that away, off we go. That's the mentoring relationship. But we're, you know, to be honest, if we don't engage in getting to the top of our game, then we're not in a position to really teach them how to do it either. And that really should silence, you know, if we're not willing to be at the top of our game,
if you're willing to settle, that's all it'll be, and you'll be there. And that's, you're so absolutely right. Those are two things. Is there another one? Because I have a question for you. If that's
bring it on. What do you got?
Maybe we have to take a break here in a couple minutes. In fact, I'm going to take a break first.
Okay.
But here's the question I'm going to ask you. Every time I have people in here, in business, you know, I want to build business, and you know, I mean, mainly politicians. Oh, I want to do this. I know where business comes from. Business is that private individual that builds those things that now you got to figure out how it brings wealth. You know, your industry brings attention and then wealth. One of the things that has been brought up, and including by some of the congressional candidates, is this high-speed internet, the big pipe, right, as you call it, the DSL.
The
fiber optic pipe that comes in here and can support anything. And they all talk about it. Oh, I want to bring it through into the North State. And we talked just a little bit about it before we came on. I want to address that as is that required? And when we come back from the break, Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. The time is 8:43 in the morning. It's 53 degrees out there. Hope you're having a great day. It's going to be a beautiful day out there. Wednesday, March the 25th.
In life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Call 243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
Oh no, dirty carpets! So I call Preferred Carpet Care. You know they've been voted the best of the North State, and now my carpets look like new. Preferred Carpet Care. Clean, efficient, and professional. I love the way my carpets look. Remember the number.
243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service. I tell you, our friends down there at Alliance Heating and Air will take care of your HVAC problems. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, emergencies, but they are the ones that can handle it all. And it's getting ready to be summer, my friends. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website, homecomfort.org. Our guest, Dan Morrill, talking about innovation and technology that is just rampant here. If you haven't, if you're just coming aboard with us here at 8:47 in the morning, 2013, 20 patents. Mm-hmm. Came right out of Reading. 2014, 20 patents. And we're on schedule this year to do the same thing. During the break, I just learned that the man that invented that, the pool sweeper, you know, that one that goes around with the hose and sucks up everything on the bottom of your pool, and the pool thermometer that floats around in there, was invented by a gentleman that lives here in Reading.
That's right.
Probably lives in a big house someplace. okay, Dan. Okay. We were talking a little bit about this huge fiber optic pipe.
Right. Right.
Would that be something?
It would. I would love to see this community have access to the pipes that come up. My understanding is that the fiber for the West Coast comes up the railroad tracks, and we just don't have an off ramp on them.
Heard it comes right through. Comes right down the freeway here.
Right. It would be a wonderful thing for our community if we could get one of those.
But
they're expensive. They're a limited kind of an access item. I think the companies who control those understand the value that it has to a community, and they're pushing to get their price for it.
Okay, and it's going to be millions, not just a few million. We're talking tens.
You know, I hear numbers like that. I know this is this topic of how to get higher speed internet access for our community is mm-hmm. one that is a live topic. There's been a set of meetings that have been going on. There was a discussion was about maybe 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Economic Development Group brought a fellow in who is leading a group that did the equivalent of fiber to every house for a small community down in the foothills of California. But they did it under a deal that's similar to the REU. So REU, was it 70, 80 years old now? It was formed when they felt like PG&E wasn't giving the city of Reading what we needed, so let's do it ourselves.
Uh-huh.
This group is saying, let's do the same thing. We're not getting what we need from the people who are providing internet access, so let's do it ourselves. So they formed a group that did the work of laying fiber to the homes, and that was their solution. It's one that I know City of Reading is I don't know if considering is probably too strong of a word, but I know that they were there at the meeting.
It's raised it. Yeah, they have to, because you've got to think that. Because some of the things you've said today, what I'd like to touch on, we've got like about 8.5 minutes left, is the fact that there's so much worldwide technology right here in Reading that affects the world, and people don't know about it. I mean, can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, we live in a time now. The next big thing is this thing they call it the Internet of Things. Right now, you have probably in your pocket your cell phone, and your cell phone has maybe not. Okay, your cell phone carries cameras, microphones, accelerometers, magnetometers.
I carry the world in my. And only thing I do is I take a picture of Bob now and then. You know, so it's
so. The next big wave is people who are looking at how do you use that data for something constructive?
Mm-hmm.
How do we create value out of what is available from the sensors that we have around us and all the rest of that stuff? That particular market doesn't require bricks and mortars to step into. It requires somebody that has an idea, somebody that can write some software, somebody that knows how to market, somebody who knows how to put up a web store. All of those kinds of things, that whole activity, that whole marketplace is one that will be driven by guys with ideas, partnering with people who can make things happen, partnering with accountants, attorneys, all the rest. It's a virtual world. We are perfectly suited to step into that marketplace as a community. There are no barriers for us. As a matter of fact, we're in a better situation because of our cost of living. If we were to compete against the guys in Palo Alto, we're heads and shoulders above because we don't carry the extra cost of being in Palo Alto.
What we need is the big software companies down in Palo Alto to maybe do subdivisions up here, or start our own.
This stuff doesn't come from big software companies. It comes from our 16, 18, 20-year-old kids who have ideas, who jump on the website and they learn how to program, they write the app. The first version is kind of okay. They partner with some people who understand its potential to drive it to market. This will be driven by sole proprietors. It won't be driven by big business or by bricks and mortar. It'll be driven by individuals with vision.
When I talked to Carol Ferguson, who's the managing editor of Record Search Light and Silas, how much longer are we going to have a paper, you know, and printed paper. And she says, well, people still like it. And I just saw a survey where students like holding books in their hands.
Still
like that. And I don't know when that'll die out. If, you know, maybe it never will. Who knows? But I really like your message, Dan. I really like your message about this, of the future and the things that can happen right here in Reading. And that we're you know, and when I see these things, it just infuriate me in the blogs and all this. Oh, Reading doesn't have anything to do. It's a cultural wasteland. I shake my head at it, because maybe it's because we're in the kind of business we are, so we're really aware of everything that's going on. Well, not everything, but a lot of the things that are happening in our city and in our community and our county and the surrounding cities. There's so much going on, and we do have so many bright people here. I just would like to. What would you do? What would you do to start bringing this to fruition?
And what I am doing, here's what I am doing.
Okay,
I'm changing the stories I tell. Right. I am actively working to understand who's around me, the opportunities, the great things that are happening. I'm telling those stories. You will not hear me saying you can't do that. I'm not going to go into that space. I'm going to work pretty hard to get my eyes off my feet and understand the potential of what happens at the Cascade Theater and that group that you had in here at 7 o'clock. The energy and the potential that's there.
Oh.
I'm thinking, if I want to make a change, man, what can I do to help those guys out? What can I do to talk them up, to get them to participate? Whatever that is, man, I want those people to rock. We saw what happened at the Civic Auditorium and that group with Corey and his team down there and the number of events they're bringing in. It's a beautiful thing. Celebrate it. Participate in it. The other thing I'm doing is I'm engaging college students.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a robust intern program, and the whole gig with the intern program is try to find something useful and real that they can do. So it's not make work stuff. Put them to work, but get them some exposure to the business environment and to the realities of being in the marketplace.
Well, that's the whole thing, is you're training people.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You're training them because right now their minds are, I mean, they're brilliant and they're conceiving all this stuff, but they're not focused yet in many cases. I mean, maybe they're focused on one part. And they're so good at that. But now our job is to expand their horizons, expand their vision,
right,
and guide them through that.
Absolutely.
And part of it is, you're right, is tearing them down.
Right.
Yeah, saying, okay, yeah, this is, got a great concept here, but this and this and this and this and this is totally hosed. You need to fix this. Well, no, I mean, it works. I mean, it does. I mean, it depended on the person. If the person then wilts under that, then maybe it's another type of leadership you have to exhibit. But a lot of people, they thrive on this. Is finding the right way of doing it.
Right.
And we have to push that.
We have the ability right now, Carl, to take an eighth grader, put into his hands or her hands a full-on computer, the tools to make it work, and all the little pieces, parts for maybe $100 a kid, and don't say, this is how you program. It's, here's this device, here's the basic instructions, show me what you can do. And that's going to unlock a whole lot of doors, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, even one of the things that I saw was a couple of days ago, there's a guy here in town that's working on high-end 3D printing work. One of the guys in my shop rewrote the interface between the CAD systems and the 3D printers and sells that as a Kiss Slicer, a little crass commercial plug there for him. But that software was done out of Reading. This stuff's all over the place. So what can we do? We can change the stories we tell.
Okay.
We can support the people we have right under our nose.
Right.
Make them successful, whatever we got to do to get them there. Prop them up, train them, mentor them, encourage them, fund them, give them some space.
Well, this is where I think we need to build that incubation facility, frankly. And you put these people in there so they have a free electricity and a free office.
Yeah. And watch.
And then have somebody in there that you know, for different groups, of course.
Watch your newspaper. Uh-huh. You'll see that happening here in the next several weeks.
That incubation facility?
Yes.
Well, you heard it here first. Something we've been talking about for several years, but now it's coming together.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
Well, that's great. And I am just extremely pleased by that, and we will do anything we can to support that, because this is a great place here in Reading. And it can be a fabulous place. And one of the problems is working and like you said, you know, bringing prosperity and wealth to people. Okay. Dan Morrow's been our guest, and it's just been an uplifting hour here with the things that, you know, the message of, hey, it's here.
Again,
already.
Change your story.
Change your story, people. And I hope that people do that. You know, we'll put it out on Facebook today and other forms of media that have people come in, and, you know, and even though a lot of people listen to it, is share this with people. Share this show with people on how it can happen and how it can work, because it can and it will. Dan, thanks a lot for being with us, and I hope you'll come back again.
This was a lot of fun.
Well, we have a lot of fun here.
Yeah, you know? I
it's live, baby. It's live.
Yeah, we have things happening here, too. I mean, there was no that's Bob telling us it's 1 minute. Yeah. Yeah. He went like this, but two, it looked like Bob was going to poke me in the eyes, frankly. And I loved the look on your face when he did it. It was kind of like, oh, what are they doing here?
Yeah,
this is going to be. Yeah. Great. Okay, tomorrow Trish Clark joins me, and you've got a show tomorrow night.
We have some great
on
guests.
On the spot with Linda Bott, and we've got a lot of giveaways, which we didn't do today.
And tonight's Sister Act. I just heard from the director of the Civic Center about the cast members, so I'll be interviewing some of the cast members tonight for the dinner before the Sister Act.
Okay.
Civic Center tonight.
Great. Okay. Thanks a lot again, Dan, for being with us. And tomorrow, like I said, Trish Clark will be joining me. And we have Joe Weiss, president of Shasta College. This is an opportune because I'm going to talk to him about this, because I just saw Shasta College just got a $5 million grant to kind of bolster them up like this. All right, everybody. Remember, change your story. Be uplifting. KCNR 1460, Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Washington. Apparently, the German jetliner that crashed in the French Alps was not brought down by terrorists. That, according to the French Interior Minister.
Terrorism isn't the favored hypothesis, because debris from did not explode in midair.
The French official heard through a translator talking to France 24. Investigators may be able to listen to the plane's cockpit voice recorder today. It's said to be damaged, but functional.
It's going to be really important to understand why they were doing what they did in the cockpit, and hopefully the recorder will give us that information today.
Former NTSB member Deborah Herzman on NBC's Today Show. Near the crash scene, the leaders of Germany, France, and Spain have gathered to pay homage to the 150 victims, including two Americans. The plane fell from the sky, falling almost 40,000 feet in a matter of 8 minutes. On Capitol Hill today,
I'd like to begin.